My name's Lori Winter, and I'm a pediatrician. I'm from New Jersey, and I'm going to talk to you about one case, sort of one example of how that transition over from a bag-giving hospital becomes a bag-free hospital. And we were one of the four states that were in the low-performing group in the last presentation. Can you hear me? Oh, zero. Right. Well, we were zero. We're no longer zero. We're actually no longer four. We're closer to 20. So we're making strides. God. It's taken a while, but we're beyond the tipping point. Anyway, so we were, I think, the first hospital. Well, maybe there was one small hospital that came before us. But we were one of the first hospitals that became a bag-free hospital. And I'm going to tell you the story about that in New Jersey. So our project was funded through the CDC-AAMC cooperative agreement to look at the effect of removing the discharge bags from the hospital. And none of our authors have anything to disclose. So we wanted to examine breastfeeding, and particularly exclusive breastfeeding and overall breastfeeding, as a result of an intervention that was to remove the industry-sponsored sample packs from our hospital. That was our sole objective. And so this was a prospective study, and it was in a very large, urban, public teaching hospital in a very poor, crime-infested area that at the time I think was the number one state for violent crime, unfortunately. I think we're number two now, so we're making strides there too. But yes, poor people, crime, yes. So, you know, we have needy mothers and we have a needy community, and people that work there really want to do public health work. Otherwise, they really wouldn't work where we work, and we love the work we do. We feel good about it, so, you know, that's all good. But we had big challenges in first just getting started with this project. So we enrolled maternity patients from June of 2009 through July of 2010 during the prospective period of this intervention. And for 6 months, basically we were doing what's always been done in New Jersey in terms of giving out the industry-sponsored sample packs, and that was the standard of care. And then we had a one-month washout period. We had a long lead-up time to this one-month washout period, but it was really hard to get rid of the bags, meaning to get rid of all the bags. And what we needed to do in this transition was to first stop the distribution of bags to these off-site warehouses, which were huge, and we took all comers. You know, we were not particularly wedded to any industry, so we took all the bags from all the companies. And so we had a lot of warehouses, and we had to cease distribution to those warehouses, and then we had to then stop the warehouse supply that had to run down and dwindle to zero so that less bags would then be sent to the hospital, and we had to get rid of all of the storage closets and areas in which these bags were held. And it wasn't just the term nursery. We were talking about the pediatric floor and the NICU. And it was a little bit of craziness during that one-month washout period. I can only go on and on and tell you about the craziness of getting rid of bags, but it literally took a month to get rid of every last bag. And so then during the second 6 months of our intervention period, we were able to then continue to enroll mothers in a bag-free environment. And then we had research assistants that had nothing to do with our hospital. In fact, they resided far along the Northeastern Pathway up in Boston, calling our mothers weekly for 10 weeks to determine what their infant feeding practices were. And as I said, we really, you know, didn't discriminate. This was just one of the three companies that we received bags from, and we created something else. One of the contingencies upon doing this whole study was that we felt that in our community, we couldn't just take away the bags and give mothers nothing. You know, there was this outcry from our nursing staff to be able to give mothers from this community something. So we had another committee get together and determine. We actually did a little survey and asked mothers what they wanted. We had some open-ended surveys, and then we whittled it down and tried to come up with items that the moms thought that they would want in their diaper bags. And we made it sort of hospital-friendly. We marketed ourselves instead of marketing the formula companies and gave them changing pads and made it kind of neutral in terms of the color, so whether they had a boy or a girl. And it was attaché-like, sort of modeled after some of the other industries. And it's a really nice bag, and it's the one that we're still using. So in terms of the number of mothers that we intended to enroll, we determined that we needed to enroll about 200 in each group to achieve 80% power to determine differences in breastfeeding between our control and intervention groups. And we used the Kaplan-Meier survival curves to determine if there was a difference between any and exclusive breastfeeding in our control versus our intervention group. And when we approached women in our community, again, because of where we practice, many of our mothers don't participate in research. They've never really seen research going on in our setting. Our nurses had never really participated in a clinical research project, so it was a real learning experience for everyone. So there were a lot of mothers that were assessed by our research assistants, and many determined ineligible, mainly because they were exclusively formula feeding. And then we enrolled only breastfeeding women, and we enrolled about a little over 300 in the control group and 250 in the intervention group. And then because of a variety of issues in the urban population, bone contact, namely, being one of the big ones, is that we, at 10 weeks, had 159 in the control group and 154 in our intervention group, still there to receive the phone calls. There were no differences in the demographic characteristics of the mothers between control and intervention groups with regard to their race, their birthplace, education, maternal age. We have a very mixed population. About a third are white, a third black, and a third Hispanic, and a small percent that are Asian. A quarter of them are non-U.S. born. We have a lot of undocumented mothers in our community that come into our hospital and deliver. And many have not finished high school, and we're kind of mixed in terms of the maternal age. We do have... I'm an adolescent doctor, so we try to keep our teen pregnancy rate down. So, you know, 10% is not so bad given our community. But that's among breastfeeding women. But a lot of our teenagers do breastfeed, and we did enroll a number in this study. But we also are a referral center for the perinatal high-risk moms. So a lot of our sample population was over 30 and represented the advanced maternal age. So in terms of their characteristics regarding breastfeeding, the at least half in both our control and intervention groups actually had previous children that they breastfed. Some had previous children and hadn't breastfed before. And it sort of broke down pretty evenly, public versus private insurance, and then again, some uninsured. A majority of our population in the control group was single, and this is where there was a difference between control and intervention group. There's a slightly higher rate of single unmarried mothers. And in addition, smoking was a little bit higher in our control group versus intervention group. The gestational age of the babies, we actually decided to enroll the later end or the older end of the late preterm plus the near terms and then term babies. So any baby that was 36 weeks completed, we enrolled in the study because if they were breastfeeding, we felt like we still wanted to get information about them, and they're cared for pretty much like term babies. And they were basically the same in our control versus intervention group in terms of their percentages, and the weights were the same as well as whether they exclusively breastfed in the hospital versus formula fed plus breastfed in the hospital. And as you can see, unfortunately, we have a dubious distinction in New Jersey of being one of the highest states for early supplementation. We're working on that, but we know that exclusive breastfeeding rates in our hospital, as are many hospitals in New Jersey, really low. It went up a little bit, but not statistically significantly after we did this study. So we were 15% exclusive breastfeeding in our control group and about 19% in our intervention group. The duration of any breastfeeding over the time period of these weekly phone calls did improve in the mothers in our intervention group. So in fact, removing the discharge bags from the whole hospital did in fact help the duration of overall breastfeeding. However, we were surprised to find that it really didn't affect statistically the duration of exclusive breastfeeding. Even though it looks like the curves separate there at the end where the exclusive breastfeeding curve is the green curve a little bit higher, it didn't bear out statistically. It may be a function of the size of our sample, but certainly there wasn't the difference that we could say was there for overall breastfeeding. So why did this happen? And this is the big surprise. So we didn't only ask about their feeding patterns during these weekly phone calls. We asked about whether or not the moms were giving the formula from the discharge bag. And so in our intervention, in our control group, this kind of made sense. So we asked them, did the moms give formula from the gift bag at week one? And 35% of the mothers said they did actually give the babies the formula that was given in the gift bag. But 19% of our control group was also giving the formula that was given to them in the discharge bag. Well, what's this all about? You know, we designed this discharge bag not to have formula, so it didn't have formula when it was created and made. And then at 10 weeks, we asked whether or not the moms received bottles from the hospital. And in fact, the control group, 51% of the mothers in our control group received bottles from the hospital. You know how they have the ready-to-feed bottles? And 56% of our intervention group received bottles from the hospital. So not in the bag, so they were just given, you know how they give you the six packs or four packs of ready to feed. The formula that the hospital gets that they don't pay for unless they become a baby-friendly hospital and then choose to pay for formula, that's the formula the hospital gets to feed the babies while they're in the hospital. And in fact, I recollect a conversation that I had with one of the representatives of one of the companies that said, you know, you're not supposed to feed that in-hospital use ready-to-feed formula once they leave the hospital. And I said, really? Is it different than other kinds of formula? And, you know, they were like, well, no, it's not different, but it's intended for in-hospital use only. And I thought, well, that's unusual. I don't know where this whole conversation is coming from. Well, now I know that the conversation arose because, in fact, this is what was happening, that the moms were getting these bottles of ready-to-feed to go home with. And when we looked at how many reported receiving formula in the gift bag, again, 36% of our intervention group received formula that was placed into the bag, the formula-free or industry-free gift bag. So replacing industry-sponsored formula sample packs were associated with an increase in the duration of any but not exclusive breastfeeding. However, the intervention group reported receiving formula in the discharge bag, even though they were created to be formula-free, industry-free discharge bags that we paid for. So this intervention group received bottles, and what we found out is that the hospital staff, feeling badly for the mothers in our community, were worried about these mothers going home breastfeeding without any formula. And so they felt as though these hospital-use, ready-to-feed bottles needed to go home with them. So eliminating the industry diaper bags should be combined with an intervention that includes continued surveillance formula and continued education, which we continue to do among our staff. So there's a little epilogue to this story, and of course the staff was educated, but in addition, our formula was what I call incarcerated. We decided to use the OmniCell that took the formula off the floor and put it someplace where every bottle of formula would need to be signed out, and there would need to be a reason for the formula use. And, you know, really in tribute to our staff, who does come to work in a very tough environment every day, you know, they said we were just trying to help these poor mothers. They really didn't know. And so we want to thank, you know, all the mothers in our community that participated in this study. This was a new thing for mothers from Camden to do, and a new thing for our staff. So we really do appreciate their support. Any questions? Roger.
You know, because there's so much interest in dealing with the different influence of different industries, medical device, pharmaceutical, on down the list, and that is getting some traction in some states. I know New Jersey was tough in that regard, but do you see any opportunity to try to link the hospital's policies for formula to all these other things in that area as a way to overcome some of this?
Absolutely, and in fact, right before we embarked on our study, before we enrolled the mothers that were in the control phase, we had put in place a policy to restrict vendors, a vendor policy. And so the problem is that what's a vendor? Well, a vendor is a pharmaceutical vendor. So I think when the formula industry wants to be a food, they be a food. And when they want to be a pharmaceutical, they be a pharmaceutical. And so whatever sort of works for them. And, you know, they don't have to wear the hat of a pharmaceutical vendor.
And well, they're getting some traction with the vending machines in school on the vendor issue.
I completely agree. And then, you know, now our hospital does, you know, fully implement that even for the formula industry. So we're better than we were. Yeah.